stopped and considered the miracle that is your body. Consider, if you would, with me just for a few moments, the eye. The eye. Now, I know many of us have had to wear the specs. Many of you do. Some have had surgeries and things like that. Listen to this quote about the eye. It's an incredible quote from an incredible source. It says, "To suppose that the eye, with all its intimidable contrivances," how about that? Amen. "For adjusting the focus to different distances, for adjusting or admitting different amounts of light, for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration, could have been formed by natural selection, seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree." You know who said that? Darwin. Darwin said that about the eye. Your eye focuses anywhere from 500,000 to 1,000,000 times a second. Okay? Think about, if you would with me, the hand. Very interesting. 27 bones, 14 knuckles. You say, wait, we got five. How about 14? Well, this is a little two-knuckler right here. Amen. And it's amazing because when you'll think that you can have independent motion in your hand or you can have group motion in your hand. You can have the hand move itself. It's amazing. You say, well, all the fingers are different size. Yeah, until you grab something round. And then it's all the same distance all the way. It's amazing. Your hand is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. I think of our circulatory system working right now. Over 12,000 miles of veins and arteries in your body right now. In your human body. 12,000 miles of veins and arteries. The foot. Think about your foot. Think about your balance. Amen. That your foot provides. The digestive system, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the human brain, the greatest computer ever designed. 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 Amen. We believe that God, from the dust of the earth, designed man. Amen. And He had put that body together. It's an amazing machine. And man is truly the crown of God's creation. The human body and its inner workings are God's greatest proverbial slap in the face of a godless thought propagated by the theory of evolution. And if you look with me at our text there in 1 Corinthians 12, it says in verse number 18, look at it with me. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." As it hath pleased Him. You know, God could have put your arm right in the middle of your forehead if He wanted to. Amen. Look a little strange, amen. God could have had your leg going out sideways and you kind of walk like... God hath put the body together as it hath pleased Him. 1 Corinthians, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was written by the Apostle Paul. And this church of Corinth was wrought with sin because the culture was wrought with sin. And it was a new church. It was just getting started, amen. And the Apostle Paul was writing to it and had to deal with a lot of different things. One of the greatest things he had to deal with, and 1 Corinthians deals with throughout, is the sin of carnality. I'm here to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Show me a church that's divided, and I'll show you a carnal church. How do you know, Pastor? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." One reason there's strife, pride. And I'll tell you, if there's anything more carnal than pride, preacher, I don't know what it is. Pride. It's what caused the fall. And so Paul is dealing here with this young church in a wicked society and telling them, listen, it doesn't matter what society does. You're the people of God. You're different. Can I say that, ladies and gentlemen, to us in 2015? Hey, listen, I don't care if there's a Religious Freedom Act or not. Amen. We're the people of God. We're the people of God. We're going to live right. We're going to do right. Amen. I don't care if this entire generation gets so sensual that we can't even go outside. We're the people of God. Amen. We're the people of God. We belong to Christ. We're not our own. We're bought with a price and indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. God often, in the New Testament, refers to His church as a body. Often. Let me read you just a few references. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. In our text in verse 27, it says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Colossians 2, 19, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. So Paul here is writing to this carnal church, this divided church, this church that was wrought by immorality. And he says to them here in this 12th chapter, he gives one giant illustration of the relationship of the members of the church one to another. It's such an important chapter in the Word of God. I want to talk to you tonight, if I could. The title is, As It Hath Pleased Him. And I want to talk to you about something I think that we kind of brush past in our Christianity, and that is this idea of gifts that God gives to us. Gifts. And I have 4 points and lots of sub-points, Brother Hendershot. Good to have you back. Amen. I want to talk to you, number one, about the provision of gifts. I want to talk to you, number two, about the problems concerning gifts. I want to talk to you, number three, about the purpose of gifts. And then number four, I want to talk to you about principles regarding gifts. First of all, let's talk, if we could, about the provision of gifts. Look with me in the text at verse number 7. We didn't read that for time's sake here. But verse number 7 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then further down there we see where it talks about there are diversities. I'm sorry, go up if you would there. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verses 4 and 5 there. Verse 6 says, diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh it all. Listen, by the way, can I say this about gifts? All can do something. All can do something. Everything in your body right now is doing something for the cause of the body. Doing something. Let me just say, first of all, number one, the diversities of gifts. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts. Verse 14, the body is not one member, but many. God gives us each different gifts. And not everybody's supposed to be the same thing. Pastor, I'm glad not everybody's called to be a missionary somewhere, foreign missionary. It'd be pretty dry on Sunday down in Clark Lake and here at Loomis, just us preaching to us. No, God has purpose, amen. God, by the way, God does need missionaries. Amen. We should be willing. Amen. I think about Brother Branch, who was here with us 2 weeks ago. This God-blessed missionary. 23 years as a pastor, and now he's going to South Africa. He's willing. Amen. There are diversities of gifts. And I think about, just in my past, of people that I met. I'm thinking of one of the dearest ushers we had at our home church. Mrs. Boston knows him. And I don't know, Pastor Donald, I think they were gone before you left. But this dear man, oh, he would hold a door. He would be so kind. But I'm telling you this, he could not stand children. He just couldn't. Anytime they'd come around and he'd see him running, it would be like the fire of God fell right out of his mouth. Amen. Ah, amen. And so our pastor realized that he did not have any sort of junior church gift. Amen. Figured it was better for him to hold the door and help sweet little old ladies out to their car. Amen. By the way, praise God. Hey, each one of us is different. The hand is not the foot. Amen. Listen, the knee is not the shoulder. They're different. But they all work together in the body. So the diversities of gift. Something very interesting, verses 7 and 11, look at them with me. We see the diversities of gifts, but we also see the distribution of gifts. Look at verse 7 there. It says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And then if you jump down to verse 11, it says, "But all these working that one, and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as He will." Listen, if you have a gift from God, it is to profit. It is not for you to profit. It is for the profit of the body. It's not for you to walk around and say, "I have great gifts." By the way, there's a bunch of charlatans out there that have been doing that for years. "I have the great gift of healing." Prove it, buddy. Empty out the cancer ward.
Yeah.
Amen. No, that's not what gifts are for. Gifts are for the church of God to do the work of God and accomplish the purpose of God. Amen? So there are diversities of gifts. There's a distribution of gifts. Thirdly, there's a division of gifts. And we don't have to spend long here, but you remember in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and to that we say, Amen, Amen." And then He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And I'm here to tell you something. There's a lot of people that are trying to reproduce these sign gifts when they were signs for a specific age and a specific purpose. They were signs to authenticate the apostles in their ministry. We all remember in Acts chapter 28 when Paul arrived at the island and it came out and a serpent fastened himself to his hand and Paul shook it off and they said, "He's a god." And you know what Paul said? "No, I'm not, but I know Him. I know who He is." And it authenticated. Listen, I don't know why this is a problem here in the United States around the Mason-Dixon line, but listen, forgive me, Brother Lowell, there's fools down south that pull snakes out and handle them. Listen, there's only one way to handle a snake. Amen? That's how you handle a snake. Amen? What do we have here? We had sign gifts that were given for a specific time. By the way, if you know your Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you want to go over just a page, look at it with me. Look in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Can I tell you what sign gifts were? They were that part. And you know what that which is perfect is? Right here. This book. There is no need for sign gifts anymore. You paint your house, praise God, I've used this illustration before. You paint your house, or let's say we paint these right here. We paint these edges of these pews, amen, and we paint them all up, and we put up a sign that says, "Do not touch wet paint." Do we leave that sign up for 2 years?
No.
No. When the paint is dry, Brother Horsch, I call a deacon meeting and say, "Deacons, take those signs off, amen." We take the sign. What? Why? Because the paint's dry. There's no need for the sign anymore. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's no need for the sign gifts anymore. God has given us His perfect Word. He's given it to us. And so, what is the division then of gifts? We have, first of all, these sign gifts that have passed away. And then we have what we call service gifts. Service gifts. The list, if you want to go with me, hold your place there in Corinthians. Go back to Romans, probably just a few pages. And we have the list given there in Romans chapter 12 of the service gifts. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse number 6, please. Really, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Again, that's a gift itself from God. The measure of the grace that He gives us. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And by the way, it ends there with let love be without dissimulation. Amen. What are those service gifts? Prophesy, prophecy, proclaiming truth. Proclaiming truth. Well, I'll tell you what. I thank God for the churches in our area like Loomis Park Baptist Church, like Fellowship Baptist Church, like Faith Baptist Church, like Sycamore Baptist Church, like Maple Grove Baptist Church, like Jerule Baptist Church that proclaim truth. Every week. We're divine seed sowers. And God giveth the increase. Amen. Prophesy. How about ministry? Serving. Helping. I think of so many that minister in our midst. Teaching, explaining. There are some people that are so good at that. I know he doesn't like praise at all, but I'm here to tell you something. Brother Jeff Becker is one of the finest Sunday school teachers you'll ever meet. Brother, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. I'm your pastor. I love you, and I believe it. Amen. Just great at explaining things. Teaching. That's a gift God's given him. Amen. I think about exhorting. The word exhort means to come alongside and help. Aren't you glad for those people? And I think of our Saturday visitors, the people that visit on Saturday. Mr. and Mrs. Harmon, you're exhorters. You're exhorters. That's what you do. You come alongside and help. I'll almost always say, Mr. and Mrs. Harmon, you got somebody on your heart this week? Because you know what? They've been praying. They've been asking God for wisdom about who to visit. Come alongside and exhort. I think about giving. People that love to give. There are those people. I know most of us, we're like Jack Benny. We hold on to that dollar just as tight as we can. Amen. When God lets those fingers go. And you've heard the story about the man who was getting ready to get baptized. And the preacher realized he still had his wallet in his pocket. Amen. And the preacher said, oh, brother, you better take that out. He said, no, this needs to be baptized too. Amen. This needs to get baptized too. Boy, when God gets our heart, He gets our wallet, doesn't He? Giving, it says there. Ruling, administrating, organizing. Some people are just so gifted at that. They can organize people and get things done for the cause of Christ. Well, I think about that. Mercy. Mercy. Compassion. Encouragement. There's some people that are just so good at that. Amen. And thank God, this division of gifts. So the provision of gifts, the diversities of gifts, distribution of gifts, the division of gifts there, the sign gifts and the service gifts. Now, let's, if we could, talk about, back to 1 Corinthians 12, talk about some problems concerning gifts. What are some problems that we saw in Corinth concerning gifts? First of all, we saw disunity. Disunity. Verses 12 through 14 tell us that the body is not one, or the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body being many are one body. So Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Why did Paul write this? Because they were fighting. The body was fighting. Can you imagine the human body doing that? The mouth saying, you know what, hand, I don't care for you. And the hand saying, pick. Just punching the mouth in the mouth, amen. And the foot saying, oh yeah, well you know what, I'm sick of you, leg, amen. That would be silly. Can I tell you that it is no more silly than the church of the living God bickering and squabbling and fighting. Amen? Silly. Silly. So there was disunity in the body, not using it for the body. You know what? There was, if you read down further in verses 24 and 25, there was disrespect for others' gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:24 says, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given the more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. There was that disrespect for that person. Well, I've got this gift and they don't. So listen, folks, that is nothing but carnality. That's all that is. Yesterday, I mentioned my son Eric and I, we took communion to two of our shut-ins, and that was a wonderful thing. I got the idea from somebody else. Brother Horsch and I had brought communion to the Stevens on Friday, and what a blessing that was to go to our shut-ins that can't be here for communion. Amen. And we were with Miss Madge Coles, and she had said, I prayed somebody would come today. I told the men in prayer meeting, I said, might as well come in with a bow right on my forehead. Amen. Package from God. Amen. Here to see you, Miss Madge. And we're talking to Miss Madge, and she said, oh, Pastor. She said, I appreciate so much all the cards. Amen. And she said, one in particular, you've got to look at it. And I took this card and I began to read it. And it said, Madge, you know, you've had a tough year. I'm praying for you. You're on my prayer list. And a little poem in there. And it was written by Carol Ann Hoffman. And you know, many times Miss Carol Ann feels like she's not doing anything for God. Yep. By the way, the devil is a liar and the father of it. That's right. And so I got to tell Miss Carol Ann today, I said, Miss Carol Ann, you don't think so, but I'm here to tell you something. You have this ministry. For some people, listen, I write cards. Some of you write cards. There's a difference between writing card and having a card ministry. I'm telling you something, Brother Jim, Miss Carol Ann, that she's just got that. Our missionaries that say to us, thank you. You're the only church that never forgets our birthdays. Listen, that's not me. That's not the deacon board. That's not the missionary committee. That's Carol Ann Hoffman. That's her ministry. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, this idea that one gift is better than another. No, sir. No, sir. So there was disunity, there was disrespect for others' gift. You know what else there was? There was desiring the show gifts. 17 and 18. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. Can I tell you that when we have somebody up here that's singing a beautiful solo, and I thank God for those. They can move our hearts, can't they? Amen. Somebody's in the nursery looking after babies. Amen. Somebody's downstairs running junior church. Somebody's running the bus, making sure it's warmed up in the winter and the windows are down in the summer, but not too far, Brother Ken. Amen. We don't want any kids hanging out the side. Amen. What are you trying to say? We're a body. We're a body. There's not one gift that's more important. Hey, listen, if you can sing, praise God. Amen. Praise God. If you can play the piano, praise God. Play that organ, praise God. And you know what? If you can't do any of those things, you can shake hands and invite somebody to sit next to you. Desiring the show gifts, that was a problem. Disrespect for others' gift. Disunity. So some problems concerning gift. The provision of gifts. Thirdly, the purpose of gift. What was the purpose in God giving gifts to the body? Verse 25, we just read it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. First of all, can I say this? The purpose of gifts was there to be no division. The body works together. Play your role. Play your role. I've used this illustration many times. I was I went to a vocational high school. And the school I went to, I think there was about 100 in our class, so it wasn't very big. But I had grown up all my life playing football. And we lived in a middle-class neighborhood in Massachusetts where it was a brand-new neighborhood, Brother Hendershot, so all these young families moved in. So it was at no... You could go out at 9 o'clock on a summer day or a fall Saturday and just a moment get 20 kids together playing football. It was just amazing just how many kids we were. And we play and play and play. And I love playing. I love the contact. I really did. I love running into people and I love hitting people. And it was great. Amen. And then I went to a vocational high school and they didn't have a football program. And which was kind of disheartening. Amen. And so, but I began to play soccer, which I found out is football without pads. Amen. And I began to play goalie. I had no skills, no foot skills at all. I'd fall over the ball and I was just bad. Amen. But I had good hands and I could kick the ball a long ways. I was big and aggressive and all those things. And for me to play goalie was where I fit in the team. Now, if I had just said all of a sudden, you know what, I'm sick of this goalie business. I want to play striker. I want to play forward. And I went up there and embarrassed myself and fell over the ball and probably broke an ankle and all that. That'd be silly. You know what, folks, listen, we all have different functions. We all have different roles. He tells us, listen, the hand can't say because I'm not of the foot, then I'm not, I don't want, I'm just going to just literally saw myself off and we'll have a, whatever, Uncle Fester or Cousin It just walking across the room here. It doesn't work like that. It's part of the body. Listen, there's not supposed to be any division in the body. It doesn't mean we don't have disagreements. You know the problem in every church has two problems. Every church has two problems. Men and women. Those are the problems. Amen. We're sinners. We're sinners. Amen. But listen, when it comes to the work of God, when it comes to the name of Christ, oh, unity. Unity. Not unity for singing Kumbaya's sake. Unity for the gospel's sake. Paul said in Philippians, striving together. That's, you know what? Hey, we can disagree, but you know what? We need to be unified for God. We can. There are things we can disagree on. By the way, Christians, we need to be able to learn to disagree without being disagreeable. So much of that in the world, it bleeds into the church. I don't have time to go there. No divisions. Verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Not only is there supposed to be no divisions, there's supposed to be no disdain. You know, in the church of God, there are some rich and some poor. There's some pure lives and there are some impure lives that God wants to help. There's some in the choir and some in the bus work. There's some in junior church and there are some that usher. And what is it that we wouldn't have disdain, that we wouldn't say, and listen, it can happen. Well, you know what? How come we got all these kids around here? How come these kids eat up so much of the ministry? They eat up so many workers and they eat up so much money, Brother Jim. And you know, we got to get insurance for the buses and all. You know what that is? Disdain. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When we stop caring about these little kids, God will take His hand off. God will take His hand off. No disdain. Thank God for these people.
Amen.
You know what I thank God for? I thank God for you people. You know why? You finance the work. See, we're all working together, folks.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get across tonight. We're a body. In a body, there's not supposed to be any disdain. The hand looking at the foot and saying, you're ugly. And he says, well, you know what? So are you. Amen. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. No disdain. No dysfunction. No dysfunction. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We had a young man I went to high school with. And he was stricken, very rare at that time, but he was stricken with polio. And if you've ever seen somebody like that, I think of Mr. Ted Kellogg, who was such a precious man at Mountain View Baptist Church. Mr. Kellogg had one of those automatic wheelchairs, and Mr. Kellogg had polio, and his arm was just kind of stuck to his side. You've seen folks that have had that before. And he used to have this wheelchair. It was awesome because they put that little knob right there and he could drive around. Amen. And he always told me after I got ordained, he was the first one to call me pastor. He said, I'm the first one to call you pastor. And there he was with his little hand, polio hand. And you know what that was in the body? It was disease had gotten in there and rendered that hand dysfunctional. Listen, he couldn't stretch it out. He couldn't. It was... Listen, may that not happen in the church of God.
Amen.
May God not render us dysfunctional.
Amen.
See, there are the problems concerning gifts, amen. There's the provision of gifts. But the purpose of gifts is no division, no disdain, no dysfunction, amen. Let me give you number 4, and just by way of application tonight. The principles regarding gifts. Just five things and we'll be done. Thank you for your patience tonight. First of all, your gifts should be known. Your gifts should be known. Ask God. God, help me to understand what my gifts are. Ask spiritual leadership to help you with your gifts. And again, if you're like that man and you can't stand children, and you come to me and say, Pastor, I think my gift is for working in the bus ministry, I'm going to say, let's pray about it, brother. Amen. Let's pray about it. Amen. Probably not. Amen. You may be able to exhort. You may be able to minister. You may be able to give. Your gifts should be known. Your gifts should be exercised. A lot of people walking around with their gifts like this. I got a gift. Hey, look at this. Look at my gift. Here's my gift. Hey, open that thing up and use it. Time to open up that gift and use it. Amen. Not walk around showing it to everybody. Amen. Well, use it. Amen. Hey, I looked up there today and I saw 3 men in our choir. Listen, if you can sing, men, we need you in the choir. Amen. Thank you for that one amen from Brother Leonard. Amen. If you can sing, men, we need you in that choir. Amen. There's all kinds of ways to exercise your gifts, but your gifts should be exercised. Can I say this thirdly? Your gifts are important to the body. Your gifts are important to the body. I believe within every local church, God has given it the resources to be self-sustaining. In every way. In every ministry. The problem is, a lot of times, we don't realize that our gifts aren't just for us. Listen, if I can get up here and sing, we believe our Lord will come, as He said, it's not for you to say, wow, He sings so wonderful. It's for the edification of the body. It's that you can say, we believe. There are some things that we believe. Amen. And this idea that our gifts are just for us. No, they're important to the body. Can I say this? Fourthly, your gifts are just as important as others' gifts. You say, but I physically can't get out and knock doors and do the things I used to do. You listen to me and listen well. If I ever preach with power in that pulpit, it's from the prayers of people that can't get out and do things like they used to.
Amen.
That's a gift. So many gifts So, listen, your gifts, what God has blessed you with, is just as important as somebody else's. And that's why we ought not to be fussing and feuding about gifts. Hey, our gifts are together as a body to use for the cause of the body. Respect the gifts of others. Amen. Because they're just as important. And then, can I say this lastly? Your gifts should be known. Your gifts should be exercised. Your gifts are important to the body. Your gifts are as important as others. Your gifts are not the end of your service. There's a piece of paper on the ground. I don't have the gift of administration. You laugh, and I laugh, and we laugh because it's true. Well, Mrs. Bittinger has that gift. No. No. About this one. I don't have the gift of soul winning. That's because there isn't one. Amen?
Amen.
You don't need a gift when you have a command to obey. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You can put these in your bills. Praise God, we've had such, when we went to Cracker Barrel with the Craigs, table for 17, I don't know, whatever it was, amen. And we went and we had three waitresses and we said to each one of them, is there something we could pray for you about? Brother Schmig gave us that. This one girl said, yeah, please pray for me about it. And all of a sudden this girl from a couple of weeks before when we had been there with a guest said, do you remember me? I said, and I did, thankfully, but then I looked at her name tag just in case, amen. I said, yes, Chelsea, I remember you. She said, well, I got an A on that test you prayed for me about. I love that. Amen. I love that. You say, what'd you do? You know, at the end of the meal, we took one of our tracts that says, thank you. And you open it up and says, thank you for your excellent service. And we put a good tip in there and put it down. Why? Because we're commanded to do that. We're commanded to do. You don't need a gift to do that. And don't get so enamored with your gifts. Can I give you a real life illustration right now, right here in our congregation? Pastor Donald's a wonderful singer.
Yeah.
Not right now, he's not. Hey, listen. You know what? God's not done with that young man. There's things that you can do, preacher. Thank God Mrs. Craig told us while she was here. Mrs. Craig had the same surgery, a bit more severe than Pastor Donald had. And she said, for a year I couldn't sing. Just after they got into the ministry and went on the road singing. Is God still God?
Amen.
He sure is. Listen, when it comes to gifts, when it comes to the body, can we say this? God hath put the body together as it hath pleased Him. Let's work together. Let's work together. There's plenty of work to be done. Let's work together. Let's not divide. Let's not be in the corners barking and doing all this. Listen, let's work together. Father, we